You people bought a ticket to see me, so shut up.
Yeah. Sometimes I get so mad, there's no control.
Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you live under a rock,
I might grab a bat, I don't know, my rap, my blood boils overnight. Oh God, here goes. I lost all feeling from my head to my toes. You said some shit that I can't let go, so just stay tuned for the rest of the show.
So have you ever felt betrayed? Switches how you see things. Realize something needs change. Cause I know you got me fucked up. Let me show you what's up. Cause enough is enough. I'll take a face full of pavement just to make a statement. I know there's no turning back. Oh God, adrenaline wasted. So mad I can taste.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Heel of the Ring podcast, the NXT edition, with your host, BX Force Jedi Kev. Well, let's get right into the rice and beans of the NXT. In the aftermath, the NXT In Your House 2022 of the June 7th edition. Plenty and much to talk about here. We have a lot of questions, a lot of new developing story angle aligned. And first and foremost, I was in attendance live and in person at the NXT yesterday, the 7th day of June. Let me first, before we even break down the whole card, it was a very exciting program. I enjoyed myself being there live on NXT. I was actually sitting in the Chase U section, right next to the Chase U section with all the Chase U alumni and members. I had so much fun. It was all in all a great show. If you are in the Orlando, Central Florida area, I advise you, get yourself registered, go to the Facebook page, NXT Facebook page, inscribe yourself on the list and get your name, your email out there and go watch NXT live. At least one time. Remember, this is the developmental league again. This is for them, how they're starting out, how to work in front of a live audience, in front of a crowd, take the bumps, learn how to placate to the crowd, develop a storyline. These kids, because they're all young kids there. These kids, men and women in the performers, phenomenal job. They no botches whatsoever. They even had two dark matches, level up. They had the NXT level up before they go on the air on USA Network. And they both did phenomenal job. It was a ladies match. You had Ariana Grande. And you had the young lady, Lacey, that's now with Chase U, who just signed with them. They fought a really good match, as we hear lightning in the background. They had a really good match, a clean. You know, if you could tell it's basic match, but they worked the crowd. They played the crowd right. And I'm very impressed with NXT. You know, a lot of people, that's why I tell you guys, go visit NXT yourself. One time, go visit them, go see them in person. Even if they come to, now they're going to be traveling, go watch NXT, these young kids, and have your own opinion. Don't let these marks who have their own wrestling podcasts, who are sponsored by like Wrestling Inc. Yes, I'm going to be a heel and I'm going to call you out. Who is on and who owned by Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson is in AEW. I had a lot of respect for the Busted Open podcast, but we want, Tommy Dreamer is on Tony Khan's payroll, literally, and all they do is talk negative. Wrestle Talk, another wrestling podcast. I'm gonna be a heel and I'm gonna call you by name. All you do is talk negative about NXT, how terrible it is, how it's no good, and it's because you got all anti WWE. I have no problem with AEW and Tony Khan either. They're fine. They botch. Let's call it a spade a spade. They're botch. And you guys say the WWE storyline is boring, but meanwhile, you're copying and pasting supposedly a WWE boring storyline. But we're not here about that. We're here about giving the shine and the credit to NXT 2.0 last night. and it all started off great. We know we had, we were going to hear from the world, the heavyweight champion, Bron Breakker. We're also going to hear with the newly crowned North American champion, Carmelo Hayes. We were also going to see the Abby Fry in action. We were going to see also the fallout of the Tony D'Angelo Legado Fantasma, you know, dismembered, how they were going to be used going forward. And of course, we started off with a promo coming in. We saw Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. They're celebrating their North American title, two-time North American champion, Carmelo Hayes, along with Trick Williams. And Solo Sikoa interrupts. He says he got next. He said he was going to get next. Let me tell you something. One of the most over wrestlers in the whole building. And it was just opening up. That building felt like it was going to explode. With all the Solo chants, the Ooh Souls chants, it was phenomenal. You saw that. And then you saw Grayson Waller came in here and refused to take his shot. And all in all, you saw the heels give a 3-on-1 beatdown to Solo Sikoa. Beat him up, left him in the ring hurt. And of course, he climbed out of the ropes, ring, and they go to commercial break. But you see Sikoa trying to get his limb back together. And you're like, whoa, Sikoa's really in trouble, you know. Of course, I like to see Trick Williams. Shout out to Trick Williams, who took shots at the Boston Celtics. You know, Trick, you know, we're in the Magics. We don't like, the Magics don't like the Celtics. Neither do the Knicks. So I don't know if you were trying to win the crowd over or trying to get heat. Next time, know your demographics before if you wanted to get some heat. That's all negative I got to say about that. It sounds like the two will be feuding. We all know that. And of course, the crowd was chanting a place warmer for Carmelo Hayes just to warm up the belt for Solo Sikoa. We shall see there. So later on, we saw a promo much later in the training room. Sikoa demanding a match with both Carmelo and Waller for later on in the evening. That set up for later on in the night. And then we have our second match of the night. Let me tell you something. In between commercial breaks, there is a lot of action, a lot of fanfare, a lot of commentary, you know, from Barrett, along with the ladies that entertain us. Oh, it's a really good experience. It's also fun. It's safe for the family as well. I advise you, take a look at NXT 2.0. Go there live. Then we come back. We have a match in Von Wagner with Stone and Ms. Cromwell taking on Josh Briggs with on his corner, Jensen and Fanelli. Now, this match, you got two big giants going at it. Big, massive guys. They were huge. All in all, you saw a big guy match. You think, oh, my goodness. The match was a little bit rough. The crowd, for some reason, they do not like Von Wagner whatsoever. You know, Von Wagner is a big specimen. He's big, he's impressive. He looks like a little, if you guys are old-time wrestlers, like Big John Studd. He's got a Big John Studd-ish look, you know, impressive. All in all, the match was okay. You know, you see what the big guys are. You expected more. And Briggs just came out with a victory. Briggs just won, although he had help from Jensen. Jensen took off his cast. Although we saw Von Wagner go on the ringside and attack Jensen with his hands. If you know the storyline they were telling us was that Von Wagner in the backstage broke Jensen's hand, couldn't compete in a tag team match, cost them a chance to earn a title shot. But all in all, they were emphasizing Jensen's broken hand. And when the referee was distracted, Jensen takes off his cast, passes it over to Briggs, and he nails Van Wagner over the head with the cast for the victory. He gets the pin on there, and they leave. And then after the match, you saw Sophia Cromwell. I don't know what's her gig, though. Doesn't say much. She just stands there with a face, you know, with a look. I mean, she's a very appeasing, beautiful ballet, but okay, you're beautiful, but what are you doing? What are you in charge? Are you speaking? Are you just stand there with a, you know, that part there, I gotta see some more development, some more character development from Sophia Cromwell. I mean, of course, Mr. Stone was irate. He was just arguing with the referee back and forth. You know, they hit him with, because I didn't see. So the typical, you know, complaint to the referee. I can't nothing about it, but we got to see what Sophia Carmel does. And they need something to make this Van Wagner more over with the goal, or take a massive amount of heat that he's just distested. Right now, he's just not liked. They need something to do. He needs something there that the crowd would just detest him. I don't know what it is. Hopefully, creative writing or story that developed will do something with that character. I give that match a C. It was a C match. It was what it is. Two big guys going at it. Could it be better? Yes. C, because you always have room for improvement. I always like to give that room for improvement in those matches. Less, we had a match. It was, I personally thought it was match of the night. And it was Sando Escobar, the family, versus Nathan Frazier. Now, Sando Escobar comes now out with Tony D'Angelo, will be on commentary. You had Stax and Two Dimes, both walking a company, Legado de Fantasma, with Cruz and Zorro. They were in the on the ramp area, standing there in their suits. Prior to that, I want to give you a little insight in the Level Up, You had Stax and Two Dimes. They in company, Electro Lopez. Electro Lopez fought Ivy Niles in the Level Up. That was the dark matches before the started off the live event. They entertained us, and it was live, but I think it was on Leveled Up. I don't know where Leveled Up is currently on, if it's on the USA show or it's on YouTube channel or on the Peacock. I'm not too sure. They had that match. She was accompanied with those two gentlemen, Stax and Two Dimes, and to the Legado Fantasma song. And the crowd went nuts for Electro Lopez. You know, although she fell to Ivy Niles on the top, but it was with the sing-along with the Legado Fantasma song. But this time, when Sando Escobar came out, he did not come out with his song. He came out with Tony D'Angelo's music, making some mind games, some mind tricks. So Nathan Frazier came out. Of course, Nathan Frazier came out first. He entertained the crowd where they cut promos in the back. They cut promos and they showed. They went to commercial. He was very, very nice with the crowd, taking, you know, in-ring pictures. He got so much over with the crowd. He was so nice, so approachable. At minimum, even all the wrestlers, all the performers there were very nice, nothing negative. Even the heels, you know, they were heels, but they gave you that wink, that good, that hell, you know. Stax, were I saw him in the back, nice kid, real nice kid. They you know, everyone there, excellent. So we get the match finally going on with Nathan Frazier and Escobar, Tony D'Angelo in commentary. What a match. A great offensive match, back and forth. Nathan Frazier is going to be a star. He's got the it factor. Me, personally, I would call him Flash Frazier when I bring him up to the ring, because that introduction that he has, what an introduction. You see the lights. You see the lights, the play all around with the flash. Both competitors were fast, quick. It was a fast-paced, quick, nothing botched. Wow. You saw, you know, Escobar hit Frazier with a suicide dive, only for the Dom to tell him to stop doing that move. You know, you saw D'Angelo trying to tell him, trying to control him, tell him how to wrestle, you know, stuff like that. You saw Frazier caught Escobar with a back elbow, and then a standing shooting star press. Phenomenal. One thing I was really, really impressed was Nathan Frazier got the victory. He got the victory. You know, wow. It was phenomenal there. And when I saw the match, I said, oh, man, they're going to give Nathan Frazier's first loss. No way that Sando Escobar is going to lose this match. Then I thought about it. I said, well, if any one of the two could afford a loss, will be Sando Escobar, because you have a story to tell. He is a disgruntled employee working under Tony D'Angelo, and he's not concentrating with a lot of distractions. And then D'Angelo is telling him how to wrestle. There's a story behind it. Nathan Frazier, I think, right so far, is one of his most high-profile win in NXT since coming over from UK, was against Legado de Fantasma and Sando Escobar. Just look out for Nathan Frazier. He is going to be a star. He's a bit of, he has an it factor, and so does Santo Escobar. Both men have what it takes, although I wish they were about 3 inches taller, you know, about, you know, covering around 6'3", 6'4", 6'2", that ballpark. They're not. They're a little bit too short. They could be really good high-level mid-card and possibly main eventers if they just had that height. But all in all, they are good. In-ring ability are phenomenal. They could wrestle. They could they could perform. They me, the best match of the night, I gave that an 8. The match was phenomenal. I was even surprised of the outcome. I was pleasantly surprised. You know, I was so happy for Nathan Frazer. Good guy with the crowd, knows how to work the crowd, knows truly. You could see that he's enjoying being part of NXT and enjoying his time in the WWE in the United States. It's not easy leaving your home country, but he's having a fun. He looks like he loves what he's doing and being a ring performer despite being in NXT. We all know he's a protege, a friend of Seth Rollins, so he's got a good mentor there, and his sky's the limit for that young man. I can't wait to continue seeing his career. Then we have a chrome section. We have the World Heavyweight Champion, NXT Champion, come out, Bron Breakker. You know, putting over how much Joe Gracie's challenged him before turning to the future, questioning who will be challenging next. What's next for Bron Breakker? He just got out of this feud with Joe Gracie, who in the back. So he just said, you know what? Send him, who's the next person that wants to step up and for the NXT champion? And the music, to everyone's surprise, in the building, none other than Apollo Crews comes out. He made a surprise entrance, establishing that he is back to NXT to rewrite his history on the brand. He said himself that he was called up a little bit too premature. He did not have his accomplishments that he wanted in NXT. He felt he rushed to the main roster, and he's there to avenge and rewrite those NXT history books. All in all, both guys, you saw, it's kind of interesting to say, does it smell like one of them is a heel turn here? And it could be down the line, possibility. But right as of right now, you have two baby faces, and they both exchange hands, a good handshake in the ring, and goes, "I'm here in case you. Anytime we will cross path, and I'll be here for the next. I'll spend the last few months in NXT." And all in all, it was a good promo. I don't know where folks get so frustrated with Bron Breakker, saying that he's boring, that they don't like him as champion, and he cannot talk on the mic. It's developmental. He cut it. That promo was took to the chase. I don't know what else you want him to say. So did you want him to be, if he rambles around like his uncle, then you call him a mumbling idiot. So he just mentioned, he read what he had to say. He cut the promo that he needed. He has a smile on his face. That's what you want with your face, you know, your main star. And he cut it. He did the right thing. He did what he was supposed to do. And I don't know why he gets so much criticism from other places, but all in all, he did what a babyface promo supposed to be. Feel good, inspirational. What's next? I defeated the challenge. I'm ready for the challenge. Bring it. And that was phenomenal. You know, Cruz dropped all the main roster gimmick. It looks like he lost his bad accent. He's back to speaking normal without an accent, and being Apollo Crews, the wrestler. You know, he came out in a nice leather jacket at first. He came out with it, and the crowd was over. They were kept chanting for him. You know, Apollo, welcome back. And he was happy to be back. And it was a nice reception. I loved it. It was a good pop there to see Crew in the main roster. I like that. I hope he does well on it. Another name, personally, I don't want to get off topic, would like to return to come to the NXT roster as a mentor type and work with them and mentor and help them as kind of in wrestling at times, mouthpiece as well, is Shelton Benjamin. They're not using him on the main roster, as we have some more lightning in the building. So we have, it's Central Florida when it pours for 3 o'clock to 4, and then it's back to 90-degree weather. So this is live and in color. Shelton Benjamin, I would love Shelton Benjamin to return to head down to NXT and be like a mentor, manager, / third member of the Creed. You know, with Ivy now, with the Key Brothers, that would be a nice fit, even if Damian Esmond as well. Roderick Strong, it looks like he's going to be kicked out of Diamond Mine. It looks like everything's pointing that way. He doesn't want to be in the WWE. Just release him. Let him leave. Let him go his way. You know, cut it already. You know, it shows the way he's acting, the way he performs. So that's just me, my opinion. So we move on. We had Zion Quinn told Wesley he had 1 week before they fight again. They cut him over there, Zion Quinn. He has the look. He has the look of a main roster guy. He has the look what McMahon wants, especially now with the bloodline. He fits that. You know, he's not related to the bloodline and all, but he has a look there that he is Samoan descent. He would be a nice addition there if you want to bring up Zion Quinn. Then we had another promo with Joe Gracie announcing the in-ring debut of his disciples, the Druids. We'll shall see. I think they've been teasing these two masks, these hooded guys. I thought it was Ziggler and Rude, the Dirty Dog, but they have gone back to the main roster. We saw that on Monday Night Raw, those that watched it. And it'll be interesting to see next week, which will probably be soon. And of course, we have the match for the NXT Breakout Tournament. The finals, we saw Roxanne Perez and Tiffany Stratton. The crowd was electric. We had Let's Go Tiffany, Let's Go Roxy chant, although the Roxy chants were more louder, but there was the Tiffany Stratton chant. Tiffany Stratton, what heel promo. Her gimmick, the way she cuts that promo, the mic, phenomenal. And of course, you saw that she had a power advantage over Roxanne Perez. Roxanne Perez is very petite wrestler, but really good. That match, the sequence was very fast. Believe it or not, it was extremely fast for the 20-year-old speedster, staying in flight. And Stratton went for her pop-up moonsault. Roxanne Perez rolled up and hit her famous power bomb. That move is some move that she does. And both ladies fought really well. They have so much charisma. You know, like I said, Tiffany Stratton could be in the main roster any moment now. She's got that. She got the Miss McMahon look. She has that look, marketable look as a woman. And she could cut a promo and just be in character and storyline very well. Does she need a little more ring polish? Yes or no? At times, it all depends who she wrestles. I seen her wrestle like Maxine Perez tonight. Phenomenal match. I also saw a sloppy match last time for the semifinal fight match to got her to the finals. It was a little bit sloppy, but tonight it was a good clean match. You know, so she needs a good performer in her ring with her until she gets her wrestling legs, like they say, going. Although if you want to still leave her on the main route in NXT, I have no problem with her staying in NXT for more seasoning. Although everybody's eventually will like to get called up, but they were both fine. Roxanne Perez is right now an NXT star. She gets that contract whenever she wants to challenge for the women's NXT title. Of course, as soon as Roxanne Perez won, her best friend in the business, Cora Jade, comes out to celebrate with Perez, handing her the title contract that she earned. And they were celebrating, and then the music hits. None other than Toxic Attraction comes out. They arrive to taunt, and Mandy Rose comes in, and with, of course, with Gigi and Nolan, they were pretty much taunting, and Mandy Rose kept talking until a brawl just ensued. You had a 3-on-2 brawl there going, and from the back comes Indy Hartwell to even up the odds. What a way to cut that segment there. The both ladies going at it. It was raw, like, wow, you're like, let's go. The NXT chants were going bananas. The crowd, again, was going electric, bananas. It was fun. They went to the commercial break. Of course, they kept fighting. They broke up just barely before the commercial break came back, because you could tell the lights go off and on when they're commercial break. You see the promos running. But they were just still going at it, you know, with that venom, giving us, the people in the arena, so much fun. Excitement, it was good. And all the, you know, all that post-match shenanigans, was phenomenal. I liked it. I enjoyed it because that's what you want. A blob raw, and that's what you need from it. And I really enjoyed that match. What's up, hey Samurai? Salute.
How you doing? I'm sorry I'm like so fucking late, bro.
All right, so we get right into the brouhaha with, because I have to get going too. I have to go back to NXT 2.0 taping later tonight in a few about soon, so my time is a little quick. I'm at the women's qualifier. What's your thoughts on that women's qualifier?
The final. Yeah, that match, it was a good match. I mean, I the right person won.
You called it. I had Tiffany Stratton a week ago, and you called it. So kudos on your picking on winning that match. Did you like that brouhaha?
You mean the brawl at the end? No, I didn't. I didn't like Mandy's approach. Like her promo was weird. She sounded plastic.
Okay, I had it was. Let me tell you something. Being in the arena, seeing that brawl broke out, it was for me. I had so much fun with it. Because after the television audience decides to go on a commercial break, they kept in the arena. The lights, you know, the lights went off and they were just still going at it. It was like, wow, the crowd was just going bananas, bonkers. They were going with the NXT chant hard. You know, Roxy, it was good. It was, to me, that's why I don't understand. It might not, there's some things because you could say lost in translation, because on television, you might not like it on television, but in person, it was watching that brawl, I was excited with it.
You know, I did look for you. I didn't see you until I saw you. I think in the main event, or before the main event, or I forget when it was, but I saw you. I looked for you, but I didn't see you until the main event. They showed a pic. They showed where you were sitting. I knew where you were. I just couldn't find you when I looked for you the first time.
Yep. If every time I try to go, if the seat is available, I'm always going to be sitting with the Chase U, because I want to make sure I have a teachable moment.
Yeah, you were sitting with Chase U. I told you were going to be sitting with Chase U.
Yep. So then we have a backstage where Wendy Chu is cutting an interview, and Tiffany just comes out of nowhere to interrupt it. She was irate. Says she wants a rematch. I guess she felt cheated or whatever the case was. And all in all, it ended up having like a work between Wendy Chu and Tiffany Stratton. She gets the drink thrown in her face, and it looks like it's going to set up next week or soon to come, Stratton and Wendy Chu.
Yeah.
And we got that new development. Then we have a match, Pretty Deadly. Was supposed to take on Andre Chase and his, what's that kid guy? The big guy.
Brody Hayward.
Brody Hayward, but Brody Hayward got attacked in the back by Pretty Deadly. They really gave him a real beatdown. Andre Chase was so irate. He says, "You know what? I'm gonna take you guys on." Pretty Deadly comes out. They were phenomenal. Pretty Deadly. The intro, the pyro, you know, not the pyro, but the entrance with the hair flowing. Man, they're Pretty Deadly's on, man. They got that. That was their last appearance in NXT, and they might be, you know, there's all rumors that they might be with Max Dupri on SmackDown. They really delivered. Hopefully. You know, no spoilers. If I go tonight's taping, I will hope I can see them one more time if they do go on the main roster, because I thought they were very entertaining. And we see Thea Hale, who's doing double duties. Thea Hale did fight the dark match. Thea Hale for Level Up. She fought against Andrea Grande, which is the daughter of Santino Maleta. They had a good match earlier, and that was the opening contest, and she was there. Loved it because she wanted to be in the mixed tag. She's so into Chase U. She really wants to be a good student and get a teachable moment. All in all, what's your thought of that match between Andre Chase and Pretty Deadly.
I mean, it was basically, it was great because it actually showcases Andre Chase to be in a, when he's in a, when he's in a more serious like role. I like when he you know, when he got directly in the ring and he just like, he didn't, you know, showboat or anything like that. He just went straight to straight to attack Prince. I think it was Prince. That was great.
Yeah, it was great. It was a good, and then of course you you know, they Pretty Deadly Pretty Deadly's just over, bro. They're just so much over. It's just phenomenal. They're ready to go up, bro. They're ready to do. They're ready to move on. I would hate that because now that I'm going live a lot to NXT, I like to see them as performers, appreciate them, but they just can't be held back any much longer. And kudos, they grew so quick from NXT UK. Now they dominated here in NXT. They're doing what needs to be done.
Indeed, they are.
Yeah. So we move on from that. We saw Alba Fire versus Tatum Plaxley. Let me tell you something about Fire. The crowd, I don't know if you heard it at home. This girl's on fire. She's on fire. Yo, that crowd was pumping for Abby Fire. Did it come through on TV with as well as it sounded in the arena?
It did, but I think that they adjust the volume, but when they don't want you to hear the actual cheers and stuff, they actually adjust the volume. So yeah, I think it was there, but it really wasn't there at the same time.
Wow, the crowd, and these are not planted, these are not marked, these are regular men, people, because we have to go somewhere different and get escorted on a shuttle to NXT to the Performance Center. So these are regular folks. These are no one there is planted except just those a few that are in the Chase University. Although I hope I don't get in trouble for mentioning that. You know, those are alumni. Those are alumni that are in Chase U. They go to the university. So they sit in the Chase U section. There's, you know, whatever you see, they're from the school. The rest are all men and women that go, that live in the Central Florida area, that live in Orlando, that come enjoy going to go out and watch NXT.
You talking about the people in Chase U are from Full Sail?
They're from the university. They're from Chase University.
Well, I mean, I know that, but I'm saying like actual like students from the actual college, Full Sail University.
I don't know where, but I know they're from Chase. They know they go to the two Chase. They take classes with Andrew and Chase, and so forth. So the rest is all of us normal folks. So those that are saying out there in the podcast world that these are planted folks there, nonsense. This is what I'm giving you from my personal experience, and that's why when I started the show, I said please go watch NXT yourself personally. Take a time visit if you're in Florida. If you come to Universal Studios, you go to Disney. Just make sure you set a date for a Tuesday to NXT. It's fun. It is phenomenal. It is a good time. You will have a good time. And come take it out. Now, back to the match. Abby Fire just was kind of, wasn't a squash, but it was a kind of a squash type. And the thing was that Tatum Paxley was in the women's tournament. To lose like that, but Abby Fire looks like she's gonna be a contender for Mandy Rose's title, bro.
Yeah,
I love her intro. I love her intro with the smoking bat. You know, the bat on fire. It was good. I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for who she is and where she came from. At first, I didn't like the gimmick change, but then I'm like, okay, well, I know what they're doing, so I get it. I like KLR, Kaylee Ray, but then at the same time, it's like, I know who she can become, so I expected her to be, you know, I expect her to go places.
Yeah, Abby Fire is on fire. It's literally, I mean, they were singing it. Abby is on fire. It was like, again, phenomenal. She hit that Swanton bomb. Although you saw Paxi try to run away from it, and Abby Fry still hit it all the way across, y'all. She went across. She really went across that whole ring, and she just looked at the crowd like, oh, well, she moves, I'm still going to get her. And she flew. She flew across that ring, and she got that victory, and phenomenal. But then it set up a little bit of a feud. We saw Lash Legend out there and attacked her. I don't know if it made it to the television side of it.
It did. I saw it. And then it went to commercial, I think.
They kept it there, but it was under the dark. So they kept beating her up, but it didn't show, you know, the angle I was in. I couldn't see much either. I was like, this made it on television. This is a good feud setup. And we know that now, you know, not that sets that up for now. She has a feud to set her up going, Abby Fry and Lash Legend, and we'll be interesting to see. We saw another promo when we came back from commercials with Blade and Eldest challenging the Creed Brothers for a title match. They were being friendly, being nice, and all of a sudden the Creed Brothers offered a tag title match, not to the agreement of Roderick Strong. What's your thought on that? The seed is being planted that we're gonna have a breakup in these classes.
Yeah, I still don't agree with that. I can't agree with something that shouldn't happen. But you know, I don't like that they're teasing breaking up the Diamond Mine. Yeah, I mean, Roderick was happy, but then like when Anofe and Blade came out, he got mad again. So I'm like, what's going on? Is he having like a bipolar disorder issue or something? What's going on here? I like it, but then at the same time, I really don't, because like, it's just it was iffy, questionable to me.
I could see that where folks, because everyone in the arena when Roderick Strong came out and cut it on television, because that was backstage, so we get to see it on the Big Titans run in the arena, and everyone says get the hell out. They were already chanting for him to leave. You know, we all know the words out there that he wanted his release, he wants to leave, he wants to go with his boyfriend out there in AEW, you know, Adam Cole, you know, because he wants to be part, he wants to be in the mid card in AEW. He doesn't, you know, whatever. So
we all know that he's going to be in mid card for in AEW. In AEW, it's not going to last long either. So,
and Elevation or Dark, and he just let him go. The guy wants to leave, and he has that much time on his contract. Let him leave. We do a lot of good things with the Diamond Mine. You got Ivy now. We could actually grab her, run it. If she doesn't feel like she's the manager to run it, you call, like we mentioned before, and then maybe we'll suggest, bring up Shelton Benjamin. Bring him down. Bring him to NXT. Let him be the manager, mentor. Even he could get in the ring at times with them. You know, six-man tag or you know, temp, so forth. I think it worked. And also, Shelton Benjamin knows how to cut a promo, knows how to be their mouthpiece, and they could keep that Diamond Mine going and new members. And when the Creed Brothers ready to be elevated, you still bring the next. Because there was some other wrestler. I forget his name. And he had almost kind of the same amateur wrestling ring attire, and the crowd.
Dante Kemp.
Is it
the black guy?
No. It's a kid who fought in the mid in the Level Up. That's like the warm up matches before them. It went live on camera. I guess he was his debut match for us, and then after those that were in attendance. And everyone's like, he's Diamond Mine. He fits the Diamond Mine, and you know.
I might have to watch a Level Up this Friday, because it's gonna come on Friday. So
if all right, so if you watch the Level Up matches, it's going to be Electra. Oh, did I lose my camera?
No, I can see you.
All right, so I thought I lost my mind because we're having some storms. So apologies there. We have Electra Lopez is going to take on Ivy now. That might be the main event, if I'm not mistaken, on that card. You also had Andrea Grande, fighting the lady that joined Chase U, which is, what's her name, Dia. Tia Hale, and then of course those two young men that I mentioned, that kid, they will be in Level Up on Friday. Look for that. That was a good Level Up match. They were good matches. They were really good, clean, no botches. Even though, you know, you could tell that it were new, because you see a lot of young guys doing a lot of submission for a while. They, you know, they're trying to get the chemistry working there, and also for cardio and so forth. So we move on. We come to the main event time, the main event of the evening. None other than Trick Williams with Grayson Waller, accompanied by Trick Williams. Actually, Grayson Waller, Carmelo Hayes, accompanied with Trick Williams, taking on Solo Sikoa. Now, Sikoa comes out and he says, "As much as I would love to get my hands by myself on you guys, but tonight I will not be alone and I help." So, out comes the reinstalled version of Apollo Crews come out there. What was your thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm glad Apollo was happy. He lost his Nigerian accent, but you know, there's that. I was surprised by that. I didn't think he would be back at NXT. He's one guy that I didn't think I wanted to succeed, but at the same time, it's like, do you really know where they're going with this?
Well, when you mean that in WWE main roster
main roster.
Yeah, no, it's good that Apollo Crews returned back to NXT. I hope that Apollo Crews has a great run in NXT, the way that Mandy Rose is having it on the women's side. I will be so ecstatic for Crews if he does that. And I think it might happen. I think Crews will be a staple there and will help him get over and become popular. You know, and if he does return to the main roster, we already know him, and he's just gonna keep that positivity, that heat, that pop that he got in NXT. And I think this time around he'll be ready. He says he mentioned it, he cut his promo earlier. We mentioned that he has some unfinished business that he hasn't not completed in NXT. He felt he was rushed to the main roster from NXT, so he's back there. So we get the tag match. All in all, you know, so Sikoa looking to attempt to get revenge on what Melo Hayes and Grayson Waller did to him earlier in the beginning of the program. And it was a good match. You know, it actually went over 10 minutes, didn't it, over the USA Network?
Mm-hmm. It went on at 10:50. 9:50. And then it went from 9:50 to about 10:08.
Yeah, it went over. It went over. And one thing that we all loved was, Apollo Crews kept Waller on a delayed suplex for like about 30 seconds, bro. The count, yeah. We all count 30, man.
Yep, wow. He did. That was impressive.
That was impressive. You saw the tag. These two guys knew how to tag for, I guess, the first time working with each other. Apollo Crews and Solo Sikoa did very well. They both, all four. Let me tell you anyway, all four competitors, even Waller, they all are good performers. They all are ready. They all could be, you know, we all saw Crews was in the main roster. You know, Solo Sikoa, he looks like he's ready. His promo skill this evening was really good too. He cut a good promo. He's starting to show himself comfortable. But every time you hear, you think of course, brothers. You think of Jimmy and Jey Uso every time they talk. You're like, oh my god, you cannot deny that you're our brothers. My goodness, the way you use the mannerisms and the way you speak. But I loved it. The match was really good. The fans loved it. The hot tag running for Sikoa was also phenomenal. You know, and my god, this is phenomenal move. Of course, you know, Carmelo Hayes also getting in there. What a good performer he is in the ring. Does some great moves. And Grayson Waller, what can you say? Despite he might look goofy at times, but he's also a good ring performer. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, he's I like the arrogant Aussie, but, you know, I think he should just, you know, like, try and make some friends. Like, you can't do it alone, you know. You need some friends, some backup. And he did that basically tonight, and I kind of approve. I mean, I think that the heat of him beating up Johnny Gargano, like, like, you know, when Johnny left is kind of wearing out. He has to, like, turn that corner, you know. He can't. He's not doing well as a heel. So I think he should just, like, you know, try to be a babyface or a tweener. But, you know.
We shall see how his direction. But all in all, you know, the moonsaults from, and of course we saw our crew get the tag, get the win. All in all, everyone left home happy. All the faces got the win there. It's setting up for next week. You know, we saw next week is going to be a six-woman tag. You're going to have Indy, Roxanne, Jay, Cora Jay taking on Toxic Attraction. That's one of the highlights. Joe Gacy will have his Druids in the ring for the first time in a match.
Did he say what their name was?
No, he didn't mention their names yet.
I thought he said something. Their names were something that he gave them actual like not their names, but I guess his group's name. I don't know.
The druids.
I don't know what he called.
But he called the dads. That's what I guess. The days, something like that. I was in the arena, so the promos, the sound, they're playing music, they're getting us, keeping us with music as well. The promo cuts, they cut the music with the, you know, the promos you're trying to listen to and you're trying to see, so I couldn't really hear it as well. It's different at home. I'll take a look at that next time there. But all in all, I thought NXT 2.0 last night was phenomenal. I can't wait to go back. I'm going to start getting ready. I'm going to wrap up in about less than five minutes here to start getting ready, head over to the UC, the Full Sail area to get ready to get on my shuttle to go to NXT Live, which is going to be taped this week for next week's viewing and Fan Appreciation Night. So there's going to be a lot of issue, fun stuff. All in all, I had a good show. NXT keeps getting over and over every week. It's getting much more greater, much more exciting. I also saw the new crops of performance wrestlers that are there, good young talented men and women there that are part of it, and they got a lot of young there, so expect that they get some more new influx of young talent. And remember, with when they bring a bunch of influx of young talent, they're going to be cuts. So with that said, Samurai, what's your thoughts on the NXT Hall in our card, in your opinion, before we get going?
I would say I'm going to give it a B+.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Mainly because, like, I watched the entire thing and I was like, you know, I was expecting to see Cameron Grimes, you know, say something about his loss, but he didn't. So I guess that means he's going up to SmackDown.
He could be the male model.
It could either be him. I mean, I just hope they don't change his name. If they change the name, it's over.
Well, we'll see. So we'll see in about a couple hours for myself. If he doesn't fight, he doesn't wrestle tonight's card, then we know that he will be a Friday night SmackDown. You know, although we can say the same thing with Pretty Deadly. You know, although I think if that was Pretty Deadly's last match, I think we would have seen more performers out, you know, because you do see whenever a little bit peek behind the curtain, when certain wrestlers are wrestling, certain wrestlers, other performers come out just to watch their match, and they watch, you know, and they you could see them where they be, and you won't see them on camera, but in the arena you see where they all stand, and you see when they're observing and watching each other's matches, which is beautiful. I find that so great because they're pulling for one another, you know, despite the fact. And I really love, it's really like a fraternity of brotherhood and brother and sisterhood with the competitors. And I loved it. Even at the end, when we were leaving, I saw Stacks, nice guy. Stacks, you know, he has to play the persona of being, you know, a mob, you know, Goomba. But he was a nice guy, you know, said hello, you know. I think everyone there in NXT, they know, they get it, and you can see the love and the enjoyment they have for wanting to be inspiring wrestlers in this craft, and you see that love and passion that you have in wrestling. It's not about yeah, yes, they want to get paid. They want to get a paycheck, job, and a paycheck, but they're there to entertain and have fun. And you see that. That's why I get so irate with other podcasters like Wrestling Inc., Wrestle Talk, and Busted Open. They just, well, not much Busted Open, but those other two, they talk so negative about NXT and how poor and bad it really is. But don't watch it. This is a developmental league. You put, you know, I always say, and I say it night in and night out, you know, put yourself in the shoes of these performers, and how would you want to be people to view you or come check you out? Because you're learning. You're going to, of course, you're going to get better. If you, once you get better and you are grown NXT, you're going to go either to the Indies, you're going to go to WWE, or you're WWE, you go make money in AEW because you're ready. And just people stop. Because the minute they get released, you're the first ones that want AEW to sign them. So please, other podcasters like Wrestling Talk and WrestleInc, stop with the criticisms, you know. And these guys, these are performers. Stop with your negative. It just doesn't sound good. It's like, oh, NXT is such a bad program. I just don't watch it. I have to watch it because I'm covering it. Don't. And just don't cover it. That's just my opinion. You know, if you don't like something, don't do it. I like AEW and I cover it and I watch it because I like it. I understand it, you know, but it's not, is it the superior wrestling? No. I still think WWE is the superior wrestling organization, but I like AEW. It's good. It is what it is. You know, they botch wrestling and they got a bunch of ex-WWE wrestlers who like to botch moves, and it's entertaining. What's your thoughts on that before we get out of here?
I agree with you. I think that people who are negative are just not seeing the product for what it is. And it just basically is developmental. It didn't used to be developmental, but, you know, now it is. It used to be a third brand back in, like, the heyday. But now, you know, Triple H isn't there, and the only person is there is Shawn Michaels. It's pretty much what they wanted to be in a developmental system.
Yeah, these are the influx of tomorrow. These folks, you know, because in a couple of years, we're going to see a Bomb Breaker, maybe headlining a WrestleMania. You know, we're going to see a Tiffany Stratton, you know, up and down Raw, challenging for a women's Raw or SmackDown Women's Champion. You see, right, look, hey, we've seen Raquel. Raquel is out there ready, you know, number one contenders match. You know, my goodness, she just left NXT last WrestleMania. She was NXT Tag Team Champion. And before that, women's title dropping into Mandy Rose. So there's a lot of growth there. There's a lot of good things coming up in the pipeline in NXT. And, of course, they're going to have a whole new influx of young, new performers that they're going to start to develop. They got, well, I guess they got that 8-week program, whatever the case is, and they will have their in-ring debuts, and they'll go from there. And, you know, and of course, there's going to be cuts, and they'll go, oh, there goes WWE cutting people again. Well, no, they're trying to get an influx of wrestlers, and if they don't got it, why keep something that they don't have and put a bad product just to have, you know, less is more sometimes.
I agree with that.
No, but so with that said, I will have you keep an eye out for my, well, we'll wait until next week for next week's edition of NXT 2.0 report. I will be live in attendance tonight. So, and I have some footage. I didn't have enough time because I wanted to at least give a review. I have footage from the arena, from the location and how fun it was and the match with Apollo Crew and how loud the crowd was. Just so the marks that like to continue to say negative things and said that they are planted wrestling fans, they're, well, I'll tell you for myself, I'm not a plant. I went there to have fun and to appreciate these young men and women performers. And yes, dude, I clap and I yell for them, of course, because they're busting their rear ends out there. And that's what
I didn't hear you say Von Wagner, by the way.
Yeah, I did. Von Wagner. I was the only one cheering for Von Wagner in that building.
Von Wagner. What's up, Von Wagner? I mean, did he actually do good? Like, I mean,
it was okay. The match needed some. The chemistry with him and Brunson didn't work out that well. You know, the chemistry, the crowd couldn't stand him. The crowd hated him. I'm the only one that cheered for Von Wagner. Where the point where he looked up and, you know, like, yeah, I'm the only one cheering for you.
Von Wagner. I still don't know what a Von Wagner is, but hey.
Yeah, I wanted to bring a sign like that, but I said, you know, Samurai wants to know, you know, what's it. Hey, did you get to hear the, if those that are watching, if you could watch it on delay or on the main event with Apollo Crews and Sokoa, there's a part that is kind of quiet, the match a little bit before they start clapping with when they're doing like the stretch, and I yelled out, "Keith Lee, you suck."
No, I didn't hear that.
Hopefully today I get a little closer down by the ramp if I get there early, and I will be making sure I have the Keith Lee, you suck. I was going to do it in an earlier part when I told you, when I mentioned to you, I was going to do it in the Van Wagner segment. It was kind of quiet too, but I just didn't have the mustard in my throat to do it. So I know it was a good segment because it was a little quiet, but all in all, well, check it out. So that will be my signature call on NXT 2.0 will be Keith Lee, you suck. So those that watch.
Yeah, I find it funny that, you know, I just find it hilarious that you said you were gonna say Von Wagner, and I didn't hear you say Von Wagner. I actually had to turn my TV up because I wanted to hear you say Von Wagner.
Oh yeah, I did. It's there when he comes out. The introduction. They do all day. By the way, they do play introduction music to everyone. They might just not come out on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we shall see.
The internet, I mean, it said on his nameplate, it said with Mr. Stone. Why did they change the name to Mr. Stone? Come on now, his name's Robert Stone. Yeah. His nameplate said with Mr. Stone and Sophia Cromwell.
Yeah.
So I guess they're all like up here now. I don't know.
Yeah. But we shall see. But I want to thank everyone because I got to get going, Samurai. So I got to get going. I got to get ready to go out the door. So thank you guys for joining me, NXT 2.0. Stay tuned for come join us tomorrow evening. We'll have the Heel the Ring AEW edition recap and review with Adam the Diff Man and his Merry Men, the Heel, and others. So please join us. We'll be here on the Heel the Ring podcast. Remember, pin life and get over.
I'm awesome! You people!
Get so mad, there's no control.
Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you live under a rock,
I might grab a bat, I don't know, my rap, my blood boils overnight. Oh God, here goes. I lost all feeling from my head to my toes. You said some shit that I can't let go, so just stay tuned for the rest of the show.
So have you ever felt betrayed? Switches how you see things, realize something needs change. Cause I know you got me fucked up, let me show you what's up. Cause enough is enough. I'll take a face full of pavement just to make a statement. I know there's no turning back. Oh God, adrenaline wasted. So mad I can taste it. I know there's no turning back. I'll do what it takes. I ain't making mistakes like that. I'll bleed on your face just to make you go take it back. I'll lose my shit. I go crazy when I'm
bye, everybody!